So, with tomorrow being Thanksgiving, I want to start today's show off with three important things. One, obviously, I'm giving my team off. There will be no Thursday show, but I am going to try and have a live stream on Friday and maybe even do a bunch of giveaways during that live stream. So, make sure that you are not only subscribed to this channel, but you also have notifications turned on all and/or give me a text at 813-213-4423 to join my text line. Two, in the spirit of Thanksgiving, I really want to say thank you to all of you. I know there are a number of people that are like, oh man, your show got me through the news cycle this year, but honestly, same way back and forth. I feel like without this job and without this community to also help talk things through and process it, I probably would have gone crazy. So thank you for being a part of this in whatever way you do, whether it be a simple like or maybe you're buying merch or whatever. And finally, and arguably the most important thing, thank you to those of you that are sacrificing this year, that you want to go see friends and family for Thanksgiving, but you are choosing not to travel while everyone else is traveling. You're choosing not to be around massive groups and potentially leading to further spread. Thank you. I know it sucks. I know you're exhausted by it. And the fact that you're still sticking with the plan, thank you. Thank you for thinking about the we rather than the me, even if the we is someone in your family. A lot of us have at least one high-risk person in our life, and it gets concerning when we're seeing the numbers spike like they're spiking right now. And I just wanted to express my thanks for that, because I know it, for a lot of people, it feels just like a self-imposed penalty, especially when you see others not doing the same, and also a number of them also seeming to have an attitude that's kind of like spitting in your face for even trying to care about other people. But yeah, with that said, back to your regularly scheduled program. Sup, you beautiful bastards. Hope you've had a fantastic Wednesday. Welcome back to the Philip DeFranco Show. And a quick reminder, you have now only 5 days left if you want to jump in on the last DeFranco drop of the year. We've got those fantastic embroidered, emotionally exhausted tie-dye hoodies, new designs, masks, signed posters, more. All available on Shop DeFranco for a limited time. But with that said, buckle up, hit that like button, otherwise I will punch you in the throat. Let's just jump into it. And the first things that we're going to talk about today are actually three requested stories, and some of these I hate you for recommending. Like, the first thing that we're going to talk about today could literally be summarized as the person who has repeatedly shown themselves to be one of the worst people once again reveals themselves to be one of the worst people. Or person who got a lot of success and money in a completely unrelated field decides to spew nonsense about something they have no knowledge about. Also, that's not a shady statement about anyone in particular, it just happens that often. There are probably a few names that popped in your head when I said that, including maybe billionaires who said that COVID was gonna go away months ago. But this first story is about an individual that is essentially the personification of a dumpster catching on fire. Jake Paul, who recently decided to do an interview with the Daily Beast and says that he thinks COVID-19 is a hoax, thus resulting in this cringeful back and forth. You think the disease is a hoax? It's killed about 260,000 people so far this year. Ugh. Yeah, and so is the flu. No, the flu has only killed a fraction of that. We also have a vaccine for the flu. Okay. The interviewer then adding, the flu kills between 20,000 and 70,000 people a year, and we have a mass-produced vaccine for it. Don't we have a vaccine for COVID? Not yet. They're hopeful we will soon. It's been approved by the FDA based on early-stage trials, but it hasn't been introduced to the market yet. So they're hopeful there will be a vaccine out very soon, although distribution also poses a big problem. But I want to talk about why you think COVID is a hoax. I don't have to elaborate. You don't want to elaborate on that? Deep sigh. No. And, I mean, that's the only part of the interview I'm going to even really touch, because it's a whole smorgasbord of stupid, but this is the most offensive stupid to me. And I will say, like we've seen with a number of large creators who have large audiences, it is very disturbing that they have an audience that's just consuming this and believing them. But also, with this story, let's try to be optimists about this. Jake Paul is actually a fantastic benchmark, because while it's very easy to say, who the fuck cares what Jake Paul thinks, it may actually be very helpful, because if Jake Paul has an opinion and you share it, you should probably revisit it. Right? It won't always mean that you're on the wrong side of an issue, a broken clock is right twice a day, but he serves as kind of a, am I being a dumb asshole detector? And, you know, the last thing that I'll touch on with this story is if you ever have this thought in your head of, wow, Phil seems to go in harsher on Jake Paul than, you know, Joe Blow that pops up in the news, that is because no matter how cynical I appear, I always try to give people the benefit of the doubt. I hope that maybe this is a momentary ignorance. Maybe this is something that can be fixed. Maybe someone wants to educate themselves. Maybe we make mistakes. All human beings make mistakes. But when you have someone like a Jake Paul that has been given opportunity after opportunity to become a better person, to evolve, to grow, and that person constantly shows you that they are the worst type of person. Maybe they even lean into it. Like they create this whole story about, you know, this is them actually winning. Just believe them. Believe people like Jake Paul who consistently show you how horrible of a human being they are. Which is also why, and I don't usually do this, I don't usually comment on audiences. If you are defending Jake Paul at this point to any degree and you are not family, because I get it, if I was Logan Paul, blood's blood, and even when someone's in the wrong, you're like, I gotta have your back to some degree. And you are over the age of, let's say, 24. I think you are a genuinely stupid human being. We're nearing the end of 2020. There's no reason to mince words here. No reason to dance around. Yeah, that's the end of the story. To those of you who recommended I cover it, are you happy now? Are you happy that this is the human being you have turned me into? Then, in honestly a different kind of stupid, like I said, I hate y'all today. Like a loving hate. You know, we're family. So we just got an update to a Twitch lawsuit story out of California that we covered a few months ago. That suit was filed back in June by a man named Eric Estevillo, and he was suing Twitch for $25 million in damages for exposing him to, quote, overly suggestive and sexual content from various female streamers. And according to his complaint, he suffers from several medical conditions that require him to rely entirely on the internet for all of his entertainment, also saying that he has OCD and sex addiction, which the complaint claims that Twitch only made worse, saying, Twitch has extremely exacerbated his condition by displaying many sexually suggestive women streamers through Twitch's twisted programming and netcode, making it nearly impossible for the plaintiff to use Twitch without being exposed to such sexually suggestive content. Also, going into some pretty detailed descriptions. Apparently he chafes his, and apparently there's pain and infections involved. Also, he allegedly damaged his retina and got bloodshot eyes from staring at these streamers' breasts for hours at a time. And on top of seeking damages, he was also seeking for the immediate and permanent ban of several female streamers, including Pokimane, Alinity, Amaranth, ST Peach, and others. And a huge and honestly surprising update today is that a judge said, yeah, no, I'm kidding. The judge essentially said no. Or to be more specific, the judge said in a tentative ruling that the main problem with his case is that the exhibits he submitted, quote, do not identify, much less support, any claims under California law. And so basically what happened is that the lawyers for Twitch filed a motion to dismiss the case, and the court did so with prejudice. And that is notable because that means that the case cannot be refiled, only appealed. Though, of course, the plaintiff has said that he will appeal, but I just don't see any information or any reason to think that it will go differently next time. But yeah, there was that, and I figured, yes, okay, let's update this story since so many people were like, what the hell is going on when we first talked about it? And then let's talk about this huge unemployment news, because in addition to this week, another 770,000 Americans have filed for unemployment benefits, which is a number that also doesn't even include people filing under separate programs for federal workers, veterans, and others. And it's in addition to recent Department of Labor data saying that at the end of last month, 20 million Americans were still out of work, because today I'm going to be focusing on this massive story out of California. So in the past, we've talked about issues involving states having to give out unprecedented amounts of unemployment benefits to unprecedented amounts of people. But this story is a new one. So yesterday, a task force led by 9 district attorneys across the state of California reported in a letter to Governor Gavin Newsom, tens of thousands of prison and jail inmates, including more than 100 people on death row, have collected hundreds of millions of dollars in unemployment benefits. An official said, this was part of a scam that, quote, appears to be the most significant fraud on taxpayer funds in California history. Right, so according to the task force, between March and August, inmates housed in every single California prison and jails throughout the state filed 35,000 claims totaling at least $140 million in benefits. Though, it should be noted here, the alleged crimes could total as much as $1 billion. Not billion. Reportedly, in most cases, the payments were given out in the form of prepaid debit cards sent to friends or family on the outside, who would then later deposit the proceeds to the inmates' accounts. But also, in some cases, the joblessness benefits were sent directly to the jails and prisons, with the inmates sometimes using their real names, but other times also using fake names and even fake social security numbers. Also, part of the reason this plot was even discovered is that, shocker, some of those in prison, guess they didn't learn their lesson? Loose lips sink ships, with prosecutors saying that they were tipped off on some of these cases by just listening to inmates' recorded phone calls where they were bragging about how easy it was to game the system. And as far as how is this even possible, how did this happen? Law enforcement officials blamed California's Employment Development Department, which notably has been swamped with processing more than 16.4 million unemployment claims since March, resulting in a massive backlog of unfilled claims that, according to reports, has totaled upwards of more than 1.6 million people at times. With the task force also saying that part of the problem was due to the fact that, unlike at least 35 other states, California somehow does not have the technology to cross-check inmate rosters against unemployment claims, with the officials now calling on California Governor Gavin Newsom to take action to crack down on this rampant fraud and provide significant resources to do so. Now, for his part, Newsom has responded in a statement calling the fraud absolutely unacceptable, also announcing that he ordered the Office of Emergency Services to create a task force to help the prosecutors with their investigation. But as some have noted, there's a reason to be skeptical of Newsom here, for a few reasons, including a few months back, Newsom actually formed a strike team to help the state's employment department speed up claims and address others, including fraud at correctional facilities. But ultimately, district attorneys were still forced to form their own task force with the California Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation. Right, so what happened? happened. We're seeing the reports of mass fraud. You have the strike team seemingly failing at uncovering the large amount of fraud, instead of being found with other groups, and also it's unclear how far Newsom's new task force will go. And then, actually, because we're already talking about money, let's close on a big money story, because it is actually important that you're aware of this Treasury Department Federal Reserve story, right? The U.S.'s central bank. Right, so if you're unaware, Thursday last week, we saw Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin saying that he does not plan to extend several key emergency lending programs past the end of the year. And with that, asking Fed Chairman Jerome Powell to return $455 billion in unused funding from those programs, which are set to expire on December 31st. And notably here, those programs stem from the $2 trillion CARES Act, right? The only stimulus package that we've seen thus far from Congress. This is money that's been meant to prop up the economy by providing financial assistance and loans for struggling businesses and local governments. However, Mnuchin, who of course notably will be out of this job very soon, now says that those Fed programs have clearly achieved their objective because, quote, markets responded positively, spreads tightened, and banks continued lending. And while he said that Congress will later be able to use that $455 billion for other purposes, such as PPP and grants, that decision has also been very controversial, with even the Fed criticizing it. And for some context here, the Fed usually doesn't comment on sensitive political issues, but with all of this happening, you had them defending these programs as necessary while the pandemic rages on. Right, once again, understand coronavirus cases are continuing to spike. The thing that Jake Paul said is a hoax killed 2,200 people yesterday. So you have the Fed noting the important role of these programs as a backstop for our still strained and vulnerable economy. Now, what's really interesting here is that the Treasury Department on its own cannot reallocate the money, right? It actually needs agreement from the Fed, which, despite the Fed's criticism, it actually gave back on Friday. And so now, despite the pushback from the Fed and economists, top Republicans like Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell and Senator Pat Toomey have applauded this move, with McConnell saying that it is fully aligned with the letter of the law and the intent of Congress. And among some Republicans, there's also concern that leaving the programs operational for too long could distort markets. Also, interestingly, on top of all of that, only about $20 billion of that $455 billion has actually been used. Though, do not confuse that with the money not being useful. As the New York Times even pointed out, some programs calmed market conditions merely by reassuring investors. Right, but connected to that, similar to the Fed, you had economists concerned that Mnuchin is pulling the plug on these programs too soon. Right, essentially, they'd be gone before the markets ever fully recovered, right? Hope is on the horizon, but it is not here yet. We still gotta get from point A to point B, which is also why we saw the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, the largest lobbying group in the country, saying that this closes the door on important liquidity options for businesses at a time when they need them most. And adding that it, and maybe it reveals the intent, this unnecessarily ties the hands of the incoming administration. Though, of course, Mnuchin has said that this decision is not political, and saying that in the, quote, unlikely event that these programs need to be reestablished, the Fed can still request approval from other emergency funds. Though, regarding all of this, you had people like Jarrett Seeberg, an analyst at Cohen Inc., saying, quote, this appears to be a political move by Team Trump to limit what President-elect Joe Biden can do next year to boost the economy, especially if Congress fails to pass a big stimulus. With another policy economist going on to describe the situation as, quote, it's not just closing the store down for Biden, it's burning the store down. Right, this move could prevent Biden's incoming Treasury Secretary from quickly restarting the efforts at scale in 2021. That, of course, being Janet Yellen, who we talked about yesterday. Notably, if confirmed by the Senate, she would also be the first female Treasury Secretary. But all of that then brings us to yesterday when we learned the news that Mnuchin is actually planning on moving that $455 billion into the Treasury's general fund, which essentially means that Yellen would need congressional approval to access any of that money, meaning that now Yellen will only have $80 billion at her discretion. And I know you could be like, only $80 billion? But when you're talking about money that is meant to prop up and reassure the entire US economy, because if that thing drops and it crashes and the further down it goes, the harder it is to come back, you're still talking about only $80 billion compared to the almost $500 trillion in money that was meant to do this job. Especially at a time that I'm gonna kind of just drive this into the ground here, that it's going to get worse before it gets better. Now, all that said, as far as any direct challenges to Mnuchin's move, I mean, we saw a Democratic member of a congressional watchdog panel overseeing the $455 billion saying on Twitter that this is illegal and that it can be reversed next year. However, you had a spokesperson for the Treasury Department hitting back, asserting that Mnuchin's move is legal under the CARES Act. But as far as what the CARES Act itself actually says, while it does place limitations on unallocated money beginning in January, it also dictates that unused money does not need to be parked into the general fund until January of 2026. Right, so even though we're seeing this question of whether or not Mnuchin can legally do this, as Bloomberg notes, he doesn't have to. I mean, last month, he even suggested that these programs could be extended beyond the end of the year. But ultimately, for now, that is where this story ends. And like with this story or anything else today, I would love to know your thoughts. And let me know those in the comments down below while I do my little outro spiel, because that is where I'm going to end today's show. As always, to the 11 billion of you that made it to the end of this video, thank you for being a part of my daily dives in the news. Also, if you're new here, definitely hit that subscribe button, tap the bell for notifications. Also, for everyone, remember you only have 5 days left if you want to grab something at shopdefranco.com. If you miss the deadline, you want stuff after, I always have to say the same thing. I'm sorry, it's gone. But with that said, of course, as always, my name's Philip DeFranco. You've just been filled in. I love yo faces, and I'll see you next time. I hope you have a fantastic Thanksgiving.